Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. You know, we like to get into the nitty-gritty, and today we're doing just that with the idea of think and act locally, but through a pretty unique lens.
Unique how?
Well, unique, like, what if candlemakers try to outlaw the sun?
Outlaw the sun.
Yeah, it sounds a little out there, but it's actually a thought experiment from a satirical essay called The Petition of the Candlemakers by a French economist, Frédéric Bastiat. It was written way back in 1845. But get this. It's still incredibly relevant to how we think about local economics, even today. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, if you're digging this deep dive and want to support our mission, we'd love for you to donate at thinkanddactlocally.com/links to the show notes.
So this candlemaker thing, it's not just a funny story, right?
Not at all.
There's some real economic theory behind it, right?
Exactly. Bastiat was using this kind of absurd idea to point out the flaws in a very real economic concept called protectionism.
Protectionism being...
trying to shield industries from competition, you know, like giving them an unfair advantage.
Yeah. Okay, I'm starting to see where this is going. So let's set the stage. Who was this Bastiat guy, and why were candle makers such a big deal back then?
Great question. So Frédéric Bastiat was a champion of free trade. He really believed in limited government involvement in the economy. And he was known for his sharp wit, often using satire, just like in this essay, to make his points.
So a funny economist... interesting. And what about the candles?
Well, picture this pre-electricity, right? Candles were the way to go. The candle-making industry was a total powerhouse. They literally brought light to people's lives.
Okay, I get it. Essential industry. But then the sun comes along offering free light for everyone. I can see where the candle makers might start to feel a little threatened.
Exactly. And that's where the satire kicks in. Bastiat imagines these candle makers going so far as to petition the government to block out the sun.
Hold on, they wanted to outlaw the sun. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, they were serious. They saw the sun as competition, and they wanted to eliminate it. It sounds crazy, but that's the point. Bastiat is highlighting how absurd it is trying to control the natural forces of the market.
This is wild. I have to hear more. So how do they plan to actually block out the sun?
Well, the petition gets into some hilariously specific details. They wanted all windows, skylights, even tiny cracks in buildings to be sealed up. No sunlight allowed whatsoever.
Wow, talk about going all in. They were determined to create a monopoly on light.
Right, and in a way you have to admire their dedication to their cause, but it couldn't have just been about selling more candles. There had to be some kind of economic justification for this plan, right?
They weren't just being greedy.
Well, maybe a little.
Mm-hmm.
But their main argument was that blocking out the sun would lead to a massive economic boom for France.
Okay, lay it on me. How did they figure that out?
Claimed that if people were forced to use artificial light, the demand for candles would skyrocket, leading to this ripple effect across the whole economy.
Sounds a little far-fetched, but go on.
So more tallow for candles meant more business for agriculture, more oil for lamps, meant boosting olive oil production, even resin wax, and the shipping industry would supposedly thrive.
So they're painting this picture of everyone winning except, of course, the sun.
Right on the surface. It almost sounds like a win-win for everyone. But Bastiat wasn't fooled. He saw right through their flawed logic.
What was he seeing that the candle makers weren't?
He was pointing out the danger of focusing solely on one industry's gain while completely ignoring the wider impact, especially the potential harm to other sectors.
It's like they had tunnel vision.
Exactly. Like imagine if you tried to fix a leaky faucet by smashing the entire plumbing system. Yeah, you might stop that one leak, but what about the flood you just caused?
Makes sense. So are we seeing any modern-day candlemaker petitions happening right now? I mean, situations where focusing on one industry or group could be hurting the community as a whole.
Oh, absolutely, all the time. It's like Bastiat is giving us this warning from the past about the dangers of short-sighted economic thinking, and it's just as relevant today as it was back then.
So let's dive into some of those modern examples and see how this whole think and act locally idea plays into it, because it sounds like there's a lot to unpack here.
Oh, definitely. We're just getting started. Buckle up, because we're about to explore some real world scenarios that might surprise you. So it's like we need those X-ray glasses you talked about to really see the big picture.
Exactly. Those X-ray glasses help us see those unintended consequences. You know, the seen and unseen, as Bastiat called them. It's about asking who might be getting hurt, even if it's not so obvious at first.
It's like looking for the cracks in the foundation, even if the house looks perfect on the outside.
Exactly. And when we're talking about think and act locally, this is so important. We need to think about those long-term impacts, not just what seems good right now.
So let's put on those X-ray glasses and take a look at some real-world situations.
Uh-huh.
What are some things happening right now in our communities that might be kind of like a modern day petition of the candle makers, you know, where helping one group could actually be hurting everyone else in the long run.
Well, let's take those buy local campaigns, for example. You know, on the surface, they sound great, right? Support local businesses, keep money in the community.
Yeah, everyone loves their local shops and restaurants.
Right, but what if those local businesses aren't offering the best prices or the best quality? Are we really helping consumers if they're stuck paying more or getting less?
So you're saying that sometimes buy local could actually backfire?
It's a possibility. You know, consumers might end up paying more for things or having fewer options to choose from. And in the long run, that can actually stifle economic growth for the whole community.
So it's about finding that balance, supporting local businesses, but also making sure consumers aren't getting a raw deal.
Right. We need a healthy, competitive market where everyone has a chance to thrive.
Okay. So buy local is one example.
Mm-hmm.
What about other things like those zoning laws that make it almost impossible to build new housing?
That's a great example. Those zoning laws, they often have good intentions, right? They want to preserve the character of a neighborhood, prevent overcrowding, things like that.
Yeah, I get that nobody wants their town to turn into a concrete jungle.
But sometimes those laws can have the opposite effect. They can actually drive up housing costs and make it impossible for people with lower incomes to live in certain areas.
So it's like creating this exclusive club that only certain people can afford to join.
It's a real problem, and it can lead to all sorts of issues like less diversity, longer commutes for people who work in those areas, and overall a less vibrant community.
It's like you're pushing people out instead of welcoming them in.
Right. And that brings us back to this idea of opportunity cost, which we touched on earlier.
Opportunity cost. Remind me what that is again.
It's basically the idea that every choice we make comes with a trade-off. By choosing to do one thing, we're also choosing not to do something else.
Like choosing to eat cake means you can't have pizza too.
Exactly. Or in the case of those candle makers, they wanted to block out the sun, but what they'd be giving up is all the amazing benefits that come with sunlight.
Like being able to see where you're going.
Yeah, that and also things like agriculture and, you know, just enjoying a sunny day. It's about recognizing that resources are limited.
So how do we get better at recognizing these opportunity costs,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to think and act locally?
It starts with asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. You know, when you hear about a new policy or a proposal, don't just take it at face value. Dig a little deeper. Ask who benefits and who might be harmed.
Don't be afraid to ask those tough questions.
Right. And think about the long-term consequences. Are we just kicking the can down the road? Are we creating problems for future generations?
It's like we need to become economic detectives looking for clues and connecting the dots.
And another crucial part of this is seeking out different perspectives, talking to people who might have different experiences than your own.
It's easy to get stuck in our own little bubbles.
It is. But make an effort to attend those community meetings. Read different news sources, talk to your neighbors, especially those who might see things differently than you do.
Because everyone has a piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. And by putting all those pieces together, we can get a much clearer picture of what's really going on.
This is making me think about how much power we actually have as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we may not be politicians or economists, but we can still make a difference.
Absolutely. And if this conversation is resonating with you and you want to support what we're doing here, you can donate to our mission at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. Every little bit helps us continue these important discussions.
Awesome. So we've got our thinking caps on. Now, what about taking action? What are some concrete things our listeners can do starting today to make a difference in their communities? So we've been talking about thinking critically, asking tough questions and all that, but how do we actually go from thinking to doing? You know, how do we actually make a difference in our communities?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? But here's the thing. You don't need to be some big-shot politician or a policy expert to make a real impact. Anyone can think and act locally in ways that matter.
So what can our listeners do, like starting today, to put these ideas into practice?
One of the most basic but super effective things you can do is just show up, go to those city council meetings, the school board meetings, those neighborhood association gatherings. That's where the decisions are being made that directly affect you and your community.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people feel like those meetings are kind of intimidating or that their voice won't really be heard.
I get it. It can feel that way. But those meetings are for you. They're a chance to learn about what's going on, hear different sides of the story, and make your voice heard, even if you don't feel comfortable speaking up at first. Just being there sends a message. You know, it shows you care.
So show up, step one.
Yeah.
What else can people do to get more involved?
So another great way to make a difference is by supporting local organizations that are working on issues you're passionate about, whether it's volunteering, donating to their cause, or just spreading the word about the work they do. There are so many groups out there making a difference.
Yeah, and there's something for everyone, you know, whether it's environmental stuff, food banks, youth programs, you name it.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the impact of those individual actions. You know, every little bit helps.
So true. And what about being more conscious consumers? You know, using our wallets to support businesses that align with our values.
That's huge. You have the power to choose where you spend your money. So support those local businesses that are doing things the right way. You know, the ones that are environmentally responsible, treat their employees well, and actually contribute to the community.
It's like voting with your dollars.
Exactly. And remember, think and act locally isn't just about these big sweeping changes. It's also about those small everyday choices you make, you know, riding your bike instead of driving, supporting those farmers markets, getting to know your neighbors. Those little things add up.
They really do. It's about creating that ripple effect, you know, starting with yourself and then watching it spread outwards.
I love that analogy. It's so true. So to wrap up this whole conversation, what's one final thought you want to leave our listeners with?
I guess it would be to remember that we all have the power to make a difference, no matter how small it may seem. You know, start by asking questions, thinking critically, and then take action, even if it's just one small step at a time.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And for those listening who are feeling inspired and want to support our mission of spreading awareness and promoting local action, please visit our website, thinkandactlocally.com/donate-your-contributions. Help us keep these conversations going.
Awesome. So to everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Think and Act Locally. And remember, keep thinking, keep acting, and keep making a difference in your communities.
And we'll see you next time.